ओमाख्यान्तमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। त्वंशाकल्पातरुभ्यश्च सिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। आचानुलम्बिता भुजो कनकतावतो सङ्कीर्तनाय कपितरो कमलाय तक्षो विश्वाम्बरो द्विजपरो युगधामपालो वन्दे जगत्प्रियकरो करुणावतारो श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनितानन्द श्री अद्वैतगदाधर सिंहासदिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे। वृक्षतालि प्रभु सबलाया वशिला सबर पात शांति देखिया। While walking, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding that the others were fatigued, took them all beneath the tree and sat down. ते वृक्ष निकटे चरि बहु कवि गाना कहते कि महाप्रभु लसित माना। There were many cows grazing near that tree, and the Lord was very pleased to see them. अचंबिते एक गोप बंसी बजाइला सुनि महाप्रभु महाप्रेम देश होइला। Suddenly a cowherd boy blew on his flute, and immediately the Lord was struck with ecstatic love. Achetana hoya prabhu bhumite padila mukite na padina shai swasarudha hoila. Filled with ecstatic love, the Lord fell unconscious to the ground. He foamed about the mouth and his breathing stopped. These verses we are reading from the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita explain a beautiful pastime of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which also has many relevant instructions for all aspiring devotees of the Lord. It takes place after Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his wonderful visit to Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the time when he took sannyas from Keshav Bharati Maharaj, he decided that he would go to Vrindavan Dham, and there he would reside and immerse his consciousness in the beautiful pastimes of Lord Sri Krishna and in the kirtan of the holy name. On his way to Vrindavan, Lord Nityananda Prabhu was thinking that the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who live in Navadvip and Shantipur primarily, that they were feeling so much distress that the Lord had left their company to take sannyas. In fact, they did not know whether they would ever see their Lord again. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the life and soul of his devotees. For a devotee, what is there of any relevance or attraction in this world without Krishna? A materialistic person is thinking, I have my family, I have my home, I have my business, I have my television, I have my car, I have my stereo, I have my telephone, I have my library of so many books, I have my friends and my society.
in this way, I really don't have much time for Krishna consciousness, for religious thought, because my mind is so much occupied with all other of these material subject matters, attractions. But when one becomes a little purified and advanced in consciousness, he becomes just the opposite. That everything in this world is so dry and void of any purpose, meaning, or attraction without Krishna. Krishna is the life and soul of all his devotees. He is the attractive principle within everything that exists. So when Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who had stolen the hearts of all of his devotees, left them to take sannyas, they became so much broken-hearted, seeing no reason or purpose to live in this world. They all began to weep, and they actually decided to all go to the Ganges to drown themselves. Advaita Acharya, who is the leader of all of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, he said that I will go to the Ganges and drown myself. What is the use of my living in this world without the company of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And if anyone tries to stop me, then I will simply sometime in the middle of the night when no one is around, I will go. And nobody tried to stop him. Rather, everyone decided to go with him and do what he was doing. What is the use of our lives? What is the use of our relationships without Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's loving association? Sunyayatam jagat saravam govinda virahenam. For a devotee, without Krishna, life is a dreary void. We have seen sometimes people take to spiritual life very sincerely within this Krishna consciousness movement. And after some time, due to perhaps some offenses or some carelessness or some previous bad habits and attachments, they decide to live without the association of devotees, to live without the demands of trying to live a pure and holy life. But when they go out into the world, generally they find that all the same pleasures that they used to enjoy, that they want to go back to, there's nothing in them anymore. They're all useless. They leave Krishna consciousness feeling separation from all the things I used to do. And then they start doing it. Puna punash charavata charavananam. But it's like chewing something that's already been chewed. You've already spit it out. Guru Maharaj used the example. And Prahlad Maharaj also said like this, that when you eat the sugar cane and you chew the fibers and you chew it and you chew it and you chew it and your mouth gets tired of chewing it, finally there's no juice left. You spit it out. Someone who takes to God consciousness and wants to again try to enjoy material sense gratification, they pick up that same dry, useless fiber and they try to chew it and chew it, and they work so hard chewing, trying to get some juice, but there's nothing there. Then they think, why did I ever go to this Krishna consciousness movement? Now I cannot enjoy material life anymore, no matter how hard I try. And it's a fact. Once tasting the sweetness of Hari Kirtan amongst Vaishnavas, once tasting the sweetness of satsang amongst sincere devotees, once taking prasad in the company of wonderful devotees, once feeling within one's heart that connection to Krishna, you can try to enjoy material life, but there's nothing there. It's useless. It's futile. And generally, devotees who try to enjoy material life, trying to escape from Krishna, they actually try harder than a materialist. Because a materialist is basically just coasting along and thinking he's enjoying. But a devotee, he's trying harder, 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 but nothing's there anymore. Where's that? that flavor I used to have in sense gratification. I must have it back. I must. But it never comes. Param drishtva nivartate. He's experienced something higher. Jaktva svadharamam charanam bhajam harer. Once tasting the sweetness of the lotus feet of Sri Krishna, even if you fall away, you will never be able to enjoy the charms of Maya. You must come back to Krishna's lotus feet because it's the only place of shelter. It's the only place where there's meaning and fulfillment in life. So the residents of Navadvip, they were thinking, Mahaprabhu has left us. We may never see him again. What is the use of this world? There's nothing here. This whole world without Krishna is like a corpse without a soul. Do you try to enjoy a dead corpse? You burn it, you bury it, you feed it to the birds or the animals. There's nothing in a dead corpse. It appears to be a body, but there's nothing left in it that has any meaning. Without Krishna, this whole world is like a dead corpse. Krishna is the soul. It gives all attraction and gives all meaning and purpose to our life in every situation. Now, the propaganda of the materialistic people is that they are thinking that this world really is a wonderful, pleasurable place to enjoy. That there's so much meaning. There's so many nice movies to watch, so many nice television shows, there's so much nice, crazy music to enjoy listening to, so many things to eat, so many places to see, so many things to drink, so many people to meet, so many things to wear. And they're trying to convince devotees, enjoy, enjoy, see how we're enjoying, just see. And devotees, they're enjoying so much, let me try. But it doesn't work. Simply we'll try, but in the back of our mind we're thinking, what is all this nonsense I'm doing? Think like that? If we have any mercy of Krishna, we will think like that. What is all this? What is it? I can see right through it. I'm trying to enjoy a dead corpse. So they were on their way to the Ganges for the purpose of suicide. And then a voice came from the sky that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will soon be with you. And you will enjoy his company again. So Advaitacharya, when he heard this voice, he became so happy. He told all the devotees, just be patient. Mahaprabhu will return. And then they all began to chant the kirtan of the holy name. So anyways, Lord Nityananda, he knew that there is no greater way to please Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to please his devotees. The Lord himself will sacrifice everything of the spiritual world to satisfy his devotees. That is the love between the Lord and those who have given their hearts to him. And it is a fact that there is no more precious activity that we can offer to Krishna than giving pleasure to his devotees. And there's no greater pleasure you can give to his devotees than bringing their consciousness back in union with him. So this is what Nityananda Prabhu did. He wanted to reunite the Lord with his devotees. So he made a clever trick to give a different direction to the Lord. He asked some cowherd men, where is Vrindavan? Where is the holy Jamuna? And Nityananda Prabhu told the cowherd men, point him toward the Ganges at Santipur. So he arrived in Santipur. And then when he met his mother, Sachimata, she was so brokenhearted to see him with his beautiful, long, silken hair. It was all gone. All that was left was a shaved head. And his beautiful golden robes and jewels were all gone. And just the drab robes of a sannyasi. She began to cry. And Mahaprabhu, he said, I have made a big mistake. In my madness I have taken sannyas, but actually my body is your property. You have brought it into this world. You have raised it with so much love and affection. I am yours. Whatever you want, I will do. You want me to stay home, I will stay home. But Sachi Devi was such a pure, loving mother and such a pure devotee. She was actually Mother Yashoda, incarnate. She told the Lord that if people see that you're staying with your mother after taking sannyas, they will criticize you. But if you go to Vrindavan, I will never hear of you again. So please go to Jagannath Puri, because it's very close. I will always get news of how you are doing. I will hear of your wonderful activities. I will be able to send prasad to you and everything. Jagannath Puri and Navadweep are like two rooms in the same house. So he went. So in this way, he did not get to go to Vrindavan, which was his cherished desire of the heart. After being in Jagannath Puri for some time, liberating Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the greatest scholar of all the land, he decided to take a trip to South India. This was approximately 3 years he traveled by foot through all the provinces of South India, the Pancha Dravida. And while there, he literally delivered millions upon millions of people the holy name of Krishna. And each and every one of them became pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They all accepted ecstatic love of God from the Lord. And when he returned, he decided that I must go to Vrindavan. I have been waiting so long. But he would not go anywhere without the permission of his devotees. The Lord is so obliged to the love of his servants. But at the same time, his devotees, how could they say no? So they played so many tricks. Ratha Yatra is coming up. You go to Vrindavan after Ratha Yatra. After Ratha Yatra. You can go to Vrindavan after Janmashtami. Janmashtami is coming up. After Janmashtami, but Radhashtami is coming up. After Radhashtami, but Govardhan Puja, Anukut is coming up. After, but Ramnomi is coming up. After Dola Yatra is coming up. Can I go to Vrindavan? But Rati Yatra is coming up. In this way, for a whole year, they just kept postponing, not giving him permission. But when they saw how much he really wanted to go, finally he began his trip. But all of his associates came with him. And as he was traveling through the roads, the main roads through the towns and the villages, he was having Hari Kirtan, and his beautiful form and the wonderful love of God that was emanating from him and filling everyone's heart was so pleasing that everyone just left their homes and began following him. And soon there were hundreds and thousands of people having Kirtan with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu following him to Vrindavan. And he stopped in a place called Ramakeli, and there he met for the first time with Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami. And they told him, after he initiated them and gave them lifelong instructions, he told them, or they told him, that to go to Vrindavan with so many hundreds and thousands of followers is not a very nice thing. Because Vrindavan is a very lonely, secluded forest. People will think you're just showing off your so many disciples, And besides that, you will not really be able to appreciate the seclusion of Braj Bhumi if you go with all these people. Better you go another time. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the town of Kanai Natasala, where there was beautiful kirtan and beautiful dramas depicting Krishna's lila, he decided that Sanatan has given me good instruction. So he went all the way back to Jagannath Puri. But then he decided, with the permission of Nityanand Prabhu and the others, to go to Vrindavan. And he wanted to go alone, but they insisted he take one servant and one assistant to that servant, Balabhadra Bhattacharya and another Brahmin. So finally, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began his pilgrimage to Braj Bhumi. And it is explained as he was dancing and chanting through the Jharikhanda forest. He traveled through the forest so people would not follow him, so he could be alone. There were so many wonderful miracles that took place. Tigers, deers, elephants, snakes, even the trees and the creepers, they all were inundated with love of God, dancing and chanting along with the Lord. And each and every living being, movable and immovable, in the Jharikhanda forest that came in contact with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's loud chanting of Harinam, were impregnated with his mercy, which awakened their original ecstatic, pure love of Krishna, the ultimate goal of life. It is described that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was living in Puri or anywhere else, when he would think of Vrindavan, his ecstasy would become 1,000 times more than any other time. When he was in the Jharikhanda forest, traveling, just knowing he was on his way to Vrindavan, his ecstasy increased another 1,000 times. When he entered into the city of Mathurapuri, his ecstasy increased even another 1,000 times. And when he finally, alas, arrived in Vrindavan Dham and began to travel through the 12 forests of Vrindavan, his ecstasy increased unlimitedly, inconceivably, infinitely. After some time in Vrindavan, he arrived on the full moon night of what we would call the night of the month of December. And he stayed approximately a month. But so many of the Brijvasis were so anxious for his darshan. And there were so many invitations coming to him. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya had to deal with all of them. And it was very difficult. And beside that, he was in such ecstatic trances that nobody knew where he would go or what he would do next. And Balabhadra Bhattacharya was just trying to protect him from going into some ecstatic trance at the wrong place where he could hurt himself. He could drown in the Jamuna. Nobody knows. So Balabhadra Bhattacharya was in great anxiety, trying to keep track of the Lord, trying to protect him, and at the same time trying to explain to everybody, thousands of invitations, but how many days are there? So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw Balabhadra Bhattacharya's difficulty, and Balabhadra Bhattacharya revealed his mind, Mahaprabhu was willing to leave Vrindavan just to relieve the anxiety of his devotee. This is the love of the Lord for his devotee. So this beautiful story that we're reading today takes place as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has just left Vrindavan. And along with him is some great personalities that he met in Vrindavan and were serving him very nicely. One was a Kshatriya of the Rajput race. His name was Krishnadas. One was a Brahmin of the Sanodiya caste. And the other two, of course, were his own Bengali servants, Balabhadra Bhattacharya and his assistant. So as they were traveling, They came to a nice tree, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sat on that, under that tree to relax, along with his four assistants. And then some cows came by, and they were mooing, and Lord Chaitanya was so happy to see these cows. And then the cowherd boy played upon a buffalo horn to call his cows. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, actually, he played on a flute. I'm sorry, he blew upon a flute. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard the flute, he thought of Krishna. And in the company of so many cows, he became filled with ecstatic love. And he fell unconscious to the ground. And he began to foam about the mouth, and all his breathing stopped. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not artificially imitating ecstasies to attract attention. But as the Rasaraj himself, the supreme king of all rasas, he spontaneously fell into this genuine trance of Mahabhava, or ecstatic love. At that time, 10 Mohammedan cavalry soldiers belonging to the Pathan military order rode up and they got off of their horses. Seeing the Lord unconscious, the soldiers were thinking that this sannyasi must have some quantity of gold. And these four rogues here, they must have taken away the sannyasi's riches by killing him, by making him drink in the poison known as datura. So thinking in this way, the Pathan soldiers arrested the four servants of Mahaprabhu and decided to immediately kill them. Because of this, the two Bengalis began to tremble. But the devotee Krishnadas and the Sanodiya Brahmin, they were very fearless. And they began to speak very boldly. The Brahmin said, "You Pathan soldiers are all under the protection of your king. You take us to your commander. Take us to the king. I want to hear his decision. This sannyasi is my spiritual master, and I am from Mathura, and I am a Brahmin, and I know many people who are in the service of this Mohammedan king. This sannyasi sometimes falls unconscious due to the influence of a disease. You just sit down here and wait until he comes back to his consciousness. And while you're waiting, you could keep us under arrest." The Pathan soldiers, they did not believe. They replied that you are all rogues. Two of you belong to the Mathura district, and these two Bengalis who are trembling, we will kill you. At that time, the Rajput Krishnadas, he said, "I have my home here. And I also have 200 Turkish soldiers and about 100 cannons. And if I call loudly, they will immediately kill you and plunder your horses and saddles." These great devotees, according to time, place, and circumstance, they knew how to adjust things. To protect one's own life, sometimes you have to say what is required. Anyways, when the Pathan soldiers heard that, they became very much hesitant, and they even became a little fearful. And then, suddenly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu regained his consciousness, and he began to dance in ecstasy with his arms raised upward, and he began to call out in a tumultuously loud voice, "Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
Hari, Hari!
When the Lord shouted very loudly in ecstatic love, it appeared appeared to the soldiers that their hearts were being struck by thunderbolts. Being very much afraid, the Pathan soldiers immediately released the four persons. And then they began to speak. That these rogues have made you drink poison. And they made you mad. They have taken away all your possessions. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, that these are not rogues. They are my associates. Being a sannyasi, I'm a beggar. I do not possess anything. Due to epilepsy, I sometimes fall unconscious. Out of their mercy, these four men maintain me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not wanting to proudly broadcast that he was in some ecstasy of love. He was trying to conceal that fact. Some people, they want to demonstrate all forms of ecstasy to get good reputation. He actually genuinely, uncontrollably was in ecstasy, but he told them that it wasn't ecstasy at all. It was epilepsy. It's a disease. At that time, amongst the Mohammedans, a very grave person who was wearing a black dress and who everyone accepted as a very saintly person came forward. And his heart became very soft upon seeing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he wanted to talk to him. He was an impersonalist. And he considered that the supreme goal of life was to merge into the impersonal existence of the Lord. And he considered that this conclusion was the basis of his own scripture, the Quran. And he began to present this philosophy to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But whatever arguments he put forward, the Lord refuted them. And finally, the person became stunned and unable to speak. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was the all-knowing personality of Godhead, who was ultimately the author of the Quran, began to cite from the Quran itself to establish that certainly impersonalism is very much rampant within the Holy Quran. But in the end, the final conclusion is that the Quran teaches to surrender with love to the personality of Godhead, to a personal conception of God. And he explained, Tomara sastre kohe sheshe eka ishwara, saveshwara purnateno shyama kalevara. That within the Quran, it accepts the fact that ultimately there is only one God, and that one God is an eternal person, and he is full of opulence, and his bodily complexion is blackish. Satchit ananda deha purna brahma swarup sarvatma sarvadya nitya sarvadi swarup. According to the Quran, the Lord has a supreme, blissful, transcendental body. He is the absolute truth, the all-pervading, omniscient, and eternal being. He is the origin of everything. No conditioned soul can get out of material bondage without serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And love at his lotus feet is the ultimate goal of life. In the Quran, there are descriptions of fruit of activity, speculative knowledge, mystic power, and union with the Supreme. But ultimately, everything is refuted as the Lord's personal feature and his devotional service is established. And the scholars of the Quran are not very advanced in knowledge. Although there are many methods prescribed, they do not know that within their own scripture, the ultimate conclusion should be considered the most powerful. In this way, citing the Holy Quran, he completely defeated this great scholar of the Quran, who was a great saint, and established that bhakti was the highest principle of all religions. We find here that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in no way was sectarian. He did not deny other religions. He did not deny other religious scriptures. He accepted them and respected them as the revealed word of God. But what he did do is he extracted the true and pure essence from the other religious scriptures of the world and established that.
Savai pung shang paro dharamo yato bhaktir dhokshije ahoyit ki aprati hataya yatma suprasidati.
The supreme occupation for all humanity is unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the one supreme Godhead, who may appear with many names and who appears in various ways historically to different people in different places. It is a fact that in the Old Testament, which is the basis of both the New Testament of Jesus Christ as well as the Holy Quran, in the Old Testament, considered the highest revelation by all mystics is the Song of Songs, which was written by the great King Solomon. And in this Song of Songs, he is praying to the Lord as his intimate lover who has a beautiful blackish complexion and a body which is so perfectly formed in every way. And similarly here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is extracting from the Quran that ultimately it is explaining that God has a form, Satchidananda, eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and who has a beautiful, loving form that has a blackish complexion. In this way, he is establishing Krishna as the absolute truth and the ultimate goal of all religions. And the deeper we go into the essence of the mystical schools of all the great religions of the world, we find that worship of Radha and Krishna is actually the ultimate conclusion of all the religions of the world. So why should we fight this religion or that religion? Why are the Hindus and the Muslims fighting when ultimately their scriptures are both saying the same thing, surrender to the Supreme Lord? It is because people are misled. They do not know the essence. They are unable to extract the conclusions of their own scriptures. So here we find Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's method, which is so wonderful, to respect and adore all great religions, but to only worship the essence of one's own and others. If you see the essence in your own religion, you will perceive that essence in another's and you will be able to extract it and show it to others. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu struck this great saint in wonder and he replied that all that you have said is true. This is certainly all written in the Quran, but most of our scholars neither understand it or accept it. Usually they describe the Lord's impersonal aspect, but they hardly know that the Lord's personal feature is worshipable. They are undoubtedly lacking this knowledge. But it is a fact that of the Hindus, most of the Brahmins and most of the religious scholars of the Vedas have the same mistaken idea. In fact, in all the great religions of the world, we find so much impersonalism rampant. Although the conclusion of every great religion is bhakti, to love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Sarva dharman puritya ja mame kam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papevyo moksha ishamasi. To abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to Krishna. And then he continued, this great saintly Mohammedan personality. He spoke to the Lord that since you are that same very supreme personality of Godhead himself, please be merciful upon me. I am fallen and unfit. I have studied the Mohammedan scripture very extensively, but from it I cannot conclusively decide what is the ultimate goal of life or how to approach it. But now that I have seen you, my tongue is chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. The false prestige that I felt from being a learned scholar is now gone. Very important. Upon chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and upon associating with the Lord and his devotees, the first thing that took place in his life is he gave up all sense of false prestige. He was adored and worshipped as a great scholar and a great saint. And as long as he was thinking that he was a scholar and a saint, his spiritual progress was blocked. But by the mercy of the association with the Lord and his devotees, he gave up all that sense of false prestige. He gave up all of the conception, misconception, that he was a great learned scholar and a saint. And he simply began to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Saying this, the saintly Mohammedan fell at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and requested him to speak of life's ultimate goal and the process by which it could be obtained. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, please get up. You have chanted the holy name of Krishna. Therefore, the sinful reactions you have accrued for many millions of lives are now gone. You are now pure. And then he told all the soldiers, chant the holy names of Krishna. Chant the holy name of Krishna. And then they all began to chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And they were overwhelmed in ecstatic love as they chanted the beautiful Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated, indirectly, the saintly leader and advised him to always chant the holy name of Krishna. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he fell at the Lord's feet and begged for his mercy, the Lord gave him the name Ramdas. Hariro. There was another Pathan soldier. His name was Vijuli Khan. He was very young, and he was the son of the king. And all the other Pathans, headed by Ramdas, were his servants. Vijuli Khan also fell down at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord placed his foot on his head, bestowing his mercy upon him in this way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left. And all the Pathan soldiers became mendicants. And later, these Pathans became celebrated as the Pathan Vaishnavas. And they toured all over the country and chanted the glorious activities of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These soldiers toured place to place, simply encouraging everyone to chant, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Vijuli Khan became a greatly advanced devotee, and his importance was celebrated at every holy place of pilgrimage. In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his pastime. coming to the western part of India, he bestowed good fortune upon everyone. Hari Om.